What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, November 4th, 2022. Thank goodness it's Friday. What a week it has been. And of course, we can count on the insanity continuing to skyrocket between now and Election Day. And it's there's just so much going on here. Now, a little friendly reminder to all of our listeners. This weekend is the end of daylight savings time. So on Saturday night, you want to turn your clocks back to normal. And on Tuesday night, you want to turn your country back to normal. So just keep those two in mind here as we move forward. Now, there are this whole Paul Pelosi story. It's like Twilight Zone or something. I'd say an Outer Limits, you know. The latest news, and this is coming from NBC, okay? The latest news on the Paul Pelosi incident is that when the police showed up at the house, he himself, Paul Pelosi, answered the door and told them everything is good, and then walked back into his house as though he was completely unconcerned. And that is now supposedly when we're told when David DePape whomped Nancy Pelosi's 82-year-old husband with a hammer. And it just, again, lovers' quarrel starting to look like. And, somebody on the 911 call said his name is David. He's a friend. Now we have this report from NBC that Paul Pelosi opened up the door, apparently unconcerned that he was only in his boxers, told the cops everything was good, turned around, walked back inside, and that's when he got pounded on. But he did not give the police officers any indication of any kind of distress when they showed up. And, NBC says, why didn't Pelosi try to flee or tell the officers that he was in some kind of trouble? And NBC says it's unclear. Actually, no, I think we're kind of leaning to where we understand what was happening. Now, a little bit of good news, however. Paul Pelosi has been released from the hospital. He went home yesterday back to the same house. And Nancy is out there saying he's got a long recovery process, convalescence, and so forth and so on. I looked at some websites regarding skull fractures, and they're talking about months to heal. So I guess Paul wasn't as badly wounded as had been implied in many of the media reports. It looks like he had a little more than a bump on the head. All right, and the media has been all over this. Oh, how terrible! Those right wingers, they're completely violent here. And we look at all this left wing political violence that corporate media seems to want to ignore. There are all the firebombings going on at the pro life pregnancy centers. There was the attack on Lee Zeldin recently. We all remember that whole 2020 summer of riots. The almost attack on Brett Kavanaugh following the leak of that Supreme Court document that they were going to repeal Roe versus Wade. And, of course, that congressional baseball game shooting. And, it's just business as usual. But, oh, my goodness, a MAGA broke into Pelosi's house and let's all feel sorry for them. Well, I feel sorry for Paul. Okay, let's be very honest about that. I don't know what his involvement with the cover-up or the decision to try and exploit it news-wise had to do with him. He's 80s. He's got bump on the head, and he, that's cool. But there's no question that this incident has been exploited for political gain to an unbelievable degree. And I think it's indicative of the sense of panic that is spreading through the Democratic portion of our population here. And not too surprisingly, according to a Washington Post ABC News poll, nearly 90% of Americans, actually 88% of Americans, are concerned about politically motivated violence. And I'm not really surprised when you look at what happened after Hillary lost the election and there were rampages going on. They were setting fire to cities that had actually voted for Hillary, but it didn't really matter. Just burn it all down. And meanwhile, the corporate media is out front saying, well, it's a mostly peaceful demonstration here as the fire truck whizzes by here. And Biden is out there touring around trying to cheer everybody. He's saying economic growth is up and inflation is down under him, which is actually completely the reverse from what's going on. Both are worse than we took when he took over. And he's now on this four-state campaign sprint to try and rah-rah the Democrats who are in tight races. Not all of those Democrats, you know, want him on that dais with, because he's become a real negative here. Now, normally in the past, early voting has tended to favor the Democrats. That's the conventional wisdom. But down in Miami, in the early voting, what they've counted so far, Republicans are in the lead. And apparently the Hispanics or Latinos or whatever Tom wants to call them this week are dumping the Democrats in droves, and they're pushing DeSantis toward an emphatic victory, which is another bad sign for Biden come 2024, if he's still in office and hasn't been 25th amendmented out. All right. Another person here. This is coming on out from Right and Free. You know, it does look like the Republican wave is coming. The poll numbers are rapidly shifting to a major victory for Republicans. And I know when there's vote fraud, the polls are rigged to match what the results the vote fraud are going to try for. But I think somebody somewhere is realizing that, like 2016, the vote fraud isn't going to be able to reverse a landslide. And now everybody's repositioning with an eye toward maintaining what little credibility they have left with the media audience. All right. Speaking on the media, again from rightandfree.com, they're talking about actor-director Rob Reiner, who's an okay actor, okay director, but he's hardcore liberal and he's out there talking all the time. And he sort of embodies the paranoid style of the press in summarizing the latest nationally televised Republican smearing speech by President Biden. And he, Reiner says, you know, Biden couldn't be clearer. These midterms will determine whether we want to preserve our 246-year democratic experiment in self-rule or surrender to the tyranny of fascism. Apparently, Rob Reiner thinks that everybody who doesn't vote liberal is Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini or something like that. It's a real extreme stretch, and I think most people are going to realize that once a meathead, always a meathead, and it does seem to be that way. And again, everyone has a First Amendment right to voice their opinion, and everybody else has a right to look at the person who's voicing their opinion and judge for themselves if their career doing whatever it is that they're doing really qualifies them to be a credible analyst on events outside their area of expertise. And I know that a lot of political campaigns think that star power carries a value, not as much as it used to, because, you know, movie stars are not seen in as glorious a light as they used to be because of all the scandals, both real and even the fake ones like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. You know, they have all those tabloid magazines on the checkout counter at the supermarket reminding you that all gods have feet of clay, including the media gods. All right, here's an interesting story that came on out of, again, Right and Free. They've got a lot of stuff out there. And, again, they're looking at the latest polling data seems to show voters may be breaking for Republicans in the midterm elections. Now, that's good news for them in the short term. The bigger picture is that everyone better buckle up, because if the Democrats lose control of the House and possibly even the Senate, the left and their media tech partners are going to have an absolute conniption fit, and they're going to be on the attack against anybody who's conservative. You know, you're fascist, you're whatever. And there's a lot of fear on the Democratic side because they know they have strayed a little tiny bit over the limits of the Constitution, kind of like how the Titanic strayed a little bit into the path of that iceberg. And they know there are going to be all kinds of investigations. They're not going to be able to keep a lid on it. The corporate media is starting to pull back from just ironclad lockstep, we've got to protect the liberals, and we're starting to see critical articles about liberalism appear in like Washington Post and New York Times, and they understand that being partisan this hard has cost them a lot of readers and a lot of revenues. Their stockholders are very unhappy, and they're saying, look, we're supposed to be in a business that reports the news. We're going to go back to doing that, and if you want a ministry of propaganda, you're going to have to come up with your own there. Now, this is a little bit of interesting news. It's coming out of Daily Mail. And apparently, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat from New York, has reportedly called an emergency meeting with Representative Jim Clyburn, a Democrat from South Carolina, back on September 1st during the summer recess, after catching wind that Representative Adam Schiff was planning to run for Speaker of the House if the Democrats maintain control. And so apparently the Democrats are starting to think that maybe it might be good for the brand to replace Nancy Pelosi. And so even if the Democrats steal control of the House in the midterms, Nancy Pelosi may be losing that part of her job. She's still going to be a representative from California. She's going to have to sit there and vote on things. But the power of the speaker's position is not going to be hers, and she's not going to be very happy about that. I would not be surprised if that happens, that she would resign. All right. Now, Project Veritas has scored again, and they caught a Nevada Democratic victory staffer. You know, everybody's already staffing up for the victory parties here. And basically, this staffer was bashing the Hispanic voters, saying that these Latino Republicans are the reason Democrats are going to lose. Oh, it's all the fault of those people coming across the border. Well, you should have thought about that when you put those borders wide open. And we are seeing down in Texas, Latino Hispanic voters in South Texas told the Daily Caller they are shifting Republican out of the fact that the Democrats are simply out of touch on economic and cultural issues. You know, the Democrats are out there thinking that, you know, they'll speak the slogans and they'll say good things that everybody should feel good about listening to. And real people who are struggling to live under the current hardships are saying, no, we're not going to hang the future of our nation on a bunch of fairy tales. And the Democrats have shown many, many times they are completely out of touch with mainstream America, in particular with LGBTQ and transgenderism in the schools, the abortion issue, and on and on and on. Now, this is something that Tom in Florida likes to get onto, and this may be confirming him. This is from hideoutnow.com, and they are quoting The View's Sunny Hostin, saying that white suburban women voting Republican are like roaches voting for a raid. And they're really trying to come on out and say, you know, you can't vote Republican. It's the end of the country. You know, they're going to come in and tear the tags off of your seat cushions or something like that. Obama came on out at a rally Wednesday night saying that democracy as we know it may not survive in Arizona if the Republican candidates are successful. And Obama should wink after that bit about as we know it, because when Obama is talking about democracy and Biden's talking about democracy, they're talking about their vision of democracy where they rule, we do what they say, they can put porn in the schools, and nobody can talk back to them. But frankly, the way the Democrats are practicing democracy is not as I knew it growing up in New England farming country here. All right, getting into some specifics here up in New Hampshire. Now, when I was a kid, New Hampshire was as solid Republican as you could get. Then it's drifted liberal. It now may be heading back on the other way because Don Bolduc has expanded his lead over Democratic Maggie Hassan, in the New Hampshire Senate race. And so there may be an upset there as well. All righty. Now, over the last week and the week before that, we've been talking about how the Department of Homeland Security was interfacing with these giant corporate media, social media companies to control what was being discussed on online. And with the revelation that they were working together, then these social media companies become an instrument of the government and therefore subject to the Bill of Rights. Okay. And so the House Oversight Committee Republicans are kicking off an investigation into what they described as a taxpayer-funded censorship campaign. And I'm glad they're hitting that part about the taxpayer-funded, because when we pay taxes to the government, it's not for them to take that money and turn around and use it to lie to us, to swindle us, to defraud us, to keep us in the dark. Okay, that money is supposed to be there to be fixing the roads and the bridges and the schools, taking care of those in need, providing good quality education of our kids instead of all this fluffy, fuzzy stuff wrapped in the feather boa here. Meanwhile, Republicans are starting to act like they think good news is going to happen next Tuesday, and they dropped a 1,000-page report saying that the FBI is rotted at its core, manipulated domestic violent extremism statistics for political gain, and deliberately downplayed the allegations of wrongdoing for Hunter Biden. And so it's a 1,000-page report. It's going all over Congress. And they're, if the Democrats do take the House, we're going to be learning a lot more about Hunter Biden and his laptop. Meanwhile, the other issue that for a lot of people is the skyrocketing crime. And, of course, the gun grabbers are saying, well, if the crooks didn't have guns, there wouldn't be crime. So let's ban guns. Yeah, except the gun bans only disarm the law-abiding citizens. A gun ban has never, ever disarmed the criminal. It just does not happen. So senior advisor to Joe Biden, Keisha Lance Bottoms, has announced on MSNBC that the reason crime is rising is Donald Trump. That's it. I mean, that's the line. Donald Trump, more crime. And it's a bit of a stretch, but that's, you know, that's what they're down to here. If at first you don't succeed, lie again. Meanwhile, there's a watchdog organization that's called Protect the Public's Trust, and it's calling for an investigation into White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre after making public comments she made that appear to endorse partisan political messaging. And a lot of people say, well, you know, First Amendment, she can do that. You know, she's the president's official spokesman. Except there is a law called the Hatch Act. Okay, and the Hatch Act bars public officials, except for the president and vice president, from engaging in partisan political activity, but it doesn't exclude their staffs. When their staffs are working in their official positions, they are supposed to be neutral providers of information as to what the government is doing, not part of the cheerleading squad for their boss. And Karine has drifted over that line many times. And, yeah, she may be in violation of the Hatch Act. And if the Republicans take the Congress, she may be in a little bit of trouble. All righty. Now, out in California, the Democrats are waging a disinformation battle over an abortion ballot measure. It's called Proposition 1. It's a ballot measure that would add an explicit right to abortion to the state's constitution. Now, supporters of Proposition 1 have claimed that the measure is needed in order to keep abortion legal and that it won't result in late-term abortions after the point of viability. But many sources, including a government-controlled voter guide and the actual text of the measure, undercut these talking points. Opponents of the measure say California law already allows abortion and that Proposition 1 would allow unlimited late-term abortions, would not prevent taxpayer money from being spent to fund abortions, and is probably going to wind up in court anyway to judge its constitutionality. So it's and, you know, the Democrats are out there saying abortion's the number one issue. Actually, it isn't. Among women, it ranks down at number three. You know, what's at the top? The economy. Americans always vote with their wallet. And the economic news is definitely working against the incumbent authorities. Speaking of abortion, the FDA has come on out slamming these various pro-abortion groups that are handing out these abortion drugs to women, saying this, you know, strike a blow for liberty and everything. And the FDA saying, you know, if these women who are not pregnant take these pills, they're risking their lives. Okay, now I'm sure the pro-abortion groups are saying, take this, put it on a shelf. If you get, you know, careless with your birth control, just take this pill the next day and everything will be fine. Actually, no, it gets really messy when the pills take effect. So anyway, and this next one is really scary. This is coming out of LifeSite News here. And I'll tell you what, we're coming up here on a commercial break. I don't want to have to cut this story into chunks here, so I'm going to wait until we come back from the next commercial break to get into this, because it's something you need to be thinking about. Take a break for our commercials, and we'll be right back.
NPR says that Biden's pot pardon will help reverse the racist enforcement of the war on drugs. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. So some advocates of the marijuana possession pardon say that the decades-old war on drugs has imprisoned black and brown people at higher rates. Well, that may be true, but it was Biden that championed the 1994 drug laws, which disproportionately attacked crack cocaine over powdered cocaine. And more importantly, with over 100,000 people dying from fentanyl poisoning last year, should marijuana even be on the radar? Fentanyl is now the number one killer of people 18 to 45 years old. Has anyone ever died from a marijuana overdose? Although I agree with the pot pardon, I would much rather see our federal government spending its time and our money on stomping fentanyl. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. See this Pashem Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just trash yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here, and this is a very alarming article. It's coming out of LifeSite News, and it says that Democrats, if they have their way, are going to go after parents who oppose transgender ideology or these irreversible drug and surgery treatments for kids to say they're obviously not caring for their children, and we should take the children away and operate them and drug them and put them in whatever. And in late September, Governor Gruesom Newsom signed a bill, Senate Bill 107, that allows California courts to take emergency jurisdiction, fancy word for kidnapping, of children who come to the state for gender transitions. In other words, starting in January, California will be able to strip parents in any state of their custody rights if their children seek chemical or surgical mutilation within California's borders, or even through telemedicine with a California-based doctor. I mean, they are pushing this agenda as hard as they can, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, what they're concerned about. Anyway, getting on to media, including social media, today was the day. Elon Musk sent an email out announcing the cuts, and the employees filed a class action lawsuit saying he did not give them enough advance notice. Well, the reality is that Musk is going to continue their paychecks until February, which I think is more than enough time for them to polish up their resumes and go to other companies that are looking for left-leaning political activists. But the employees are out there trying to sue them, and I don't think it's really going to get all that way. Now, when employers have to lay you off for economic reasons, there is a requirement for advance notice. Depending upon the state you're in, it's anywhere between 2 weeks and 30 days. If you're fired for cause, it's right there and then, and clean out your desk and walk out the door right now. So that's where that is. Getting into feuds between others, over at the leftist internet traffic cop NewsGuard, they came on out trying to call Rumble, the Rumble video platform, the Hoax Central, because Rumble is putting out a lot of videos that would not be allowed on Twitter and so forth and so on. And Rumble, in return, came on back and said, well, NewsGuard is in no position to be throwing around the label hoax because their CEO declared the Hunter Biden laptop scandal as being a hoax. All right, and we know now that, yes, the laptop was real. It's been acknowledged as real, and that'll be the subject of one of the many investigations if the Republicans seize Congress, or at least the House, in the coming elections here. All righty, something I want to point out here before we get into it. The Supreme Court has already ruled before that elections end at midnight on election day. It is illegal for federal elections to accept ballots after midnight. After midnight, that door, that little slot is closed, and nobody else is allowed to say, oh, look at these votes I found over here. And that's been a ruling. And yet we're hearing all of these Democratic election centers saying, well, you know, they're still coming in, and, you know, they don't have dates on them, so we're going to assume they were mailed by the appropriate time, and it's an amazing thing. Now, this gets a little bit scary here. The White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, said yesterday that Joe Biden's Wednesday night speech was one final warning to election deniers. In other words, if anybody points to evidence of election fraud in the midterm elections, they are going to be declared enemies of the state and pelted with marshmallows or something like that. Meanwhile, over in St. Louis, election officials are now telling their volunteers at the training sessions, don't worry about the photo ID law. We're not the photo police here. You don't have to pay. So even when the state says, yes, photo ID is necessary, the people handling the elections are saying, nah, you know, if they got a pulse, they can vote. Well, even if they don't have a pulse, they can vote. Just bring them all in as long as they're voting Democratic here. All righty. Now, the nation's cybersecurity chief, Jen Easterly, came on out saying that China, Russia, and Iran seek to influence the 2022 midterm elections. And we have, all the evidence that they're going to be coming on in to sow confusion. And what they're doing is they're setting the stage so that if the election fraud that we're expecting on election day becomes too obvious to ignore, they're going to say, you know, it's Russia, it's Iran, it's China. Don't even think for a moment that Democrats would ever do such a slimy thing here. And so they're setting the stage here. And that tells you that, yes, first of all, they're going to cheat. Second of all, they think they're probably going to be found on out. And third, they're trying to figure out how they're going to keep the public from standing up and behaving the way the Brazilians heroically have been doing from their last rigged election. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new EaseOff drop-in lift?
What in the world is an EaseOff drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to talk about COVID now for a little bit here. And I want to start off with Haiti. Now, we've been hearing a lot of news about Haitian refugees and how terrible things are in Haiti ever since they got pillaged following that horrible earthquake they had to live through. But scientists have noted something that they can't seem to explain, and that is that Haiti has never – had any of the COVID vaccines and yet somehow has one of the lowest infection rates in the world. And the scientists over at the CDC and the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies are saying, we just can't figure that one out. You know, it's weird. It's inexplicable here. And this is part of a larger story. This is coming from Madness Hub. Countries that implemented harsh lockdowns trying to get to a zero COVID are paying a price with lower population-wide immunity. This is a new analysis from the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington School of Medicine. And that is those countries that vaccinated the most and locked down the most, their immune systems have been damaged. And we have reported many times in the past that there was a lot of evidence that these mRNA shots were permanently damaging your natural immune system. Now, from a business point of view, this is really good. We give you a shot. We force you to take a shot. It wrecks your immune system. You get sick from every little tiny bug that comes along. That's more money for your doctor, more money for the pharmacy, more money for the pharmaceutical companies, and everybody goes home happy except for the patients who are dying. So, it's all about the Benjamins here. Now, we've talked about this before. California has now made it illegal for doctors to disagree with the politicians. Okay, and we've talked about this before. On September 30th, Governor Gruesome Newsom signed into law Assembly Bill 2098, which basically authorized the state to discipline doctors who disseminate misinformation or disinformation related to COVID-19, with, of course, disinformation or misinformation being anything that doesn't agree with the official orthodox explanation. And, doctors who dare question the orthodoxy, face heavy fines and potential loss of their medical license here. Well, finally, the doctors are fighting back. The Civil Liberties Alliance, the new Civil Liberties Alliance, has filed a federal lawsuit yesterday saying that the language of the Assembly Bill 2098 represents an unconstitutional vague standard of acceptable speech. Doctors have a right to freedom of speech and expression as well. And if the doctor, based on their knowledge and experience, thinks that you would be better off with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine versus getting these repeated shots, and now they're talking about a permanent yearly COVID shot. Money, 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 money. The doctors have a right to say that. You have a right to hear it and decide for yourself. So there's going to be a court battle over that one as well. Down in Uganda, they're dealing with a still small outbreak of Ebola. And Ebola is a big, scary word. It's much scarier than COVID. And again, a reminder, COVID comes in a great number of strains of wildly varying lethality. Ebola Mayinga is a slight wiper. You know, something like 95% plus mortality. At the other end of the spectrum is Ebola Reston. Yes, there was an Ebola outbreak in Reston, Virginia, but it only affected monkeys. Humans were completely, totally immune. So they have this outbreak of Ebola in Uganda, and the President Museveni has reiterated that he refuses to impose a nationwide lockdown because he says it's really not spread that much. There aren't that many people. And so Museveni has ruled out any plans for a nationwide lockdown, as opposed to China. One person sneezes, they lock down half the country here. He's basically saying people just be more vigilant, use common sense measures to control the spread of Ebola. There will be no lockdown. Go ahead and concentrate on your work, and just don't worry about it. We're going to work to take care of it. Very mature approach, I think. Now then, Ebola has always been a head scratcher. Where did it come from? Did it somehow evolve from Marburg, which showed up in Germany? And for those of you who are curious about it, Ebola is an RNA-based virus. And RNA is very unstable. It mutates rapidly, and that's why evolutionary-wise, the DNA molecule eventually prevailed. RNA still exists. It's used to carry messages within your cells. It basically reads code from the DNA and then floats over to the various proteins and says, here, this is what you got to do next. That's how the mechanism works here. So where did it come from? And again, going back to the Daily Mail, they're looking at the 2014 Ebola outbreak, and they're pointing the finger at an accidental lab leak at a U.S. government-funded facility. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So virologist Dr. Jonathan Latham, a former researcher at the University of Wisconsin, and journalist Sam Husseini say there are a number of inconsistencies in the official timeline of the West African epidemic. And they're claiming the virus likely emerged during routine research activities from a laboratory in Kenema, Sierra Leone, which at that time was being funded by the U.S. government. Now, one of the things that always bothered me about Ebola is it would pop up in the most remote places of Africa where they had no contact with the outside, and people would die, and that would be that. And then all of a sudden it would pop up, you know, hundreds of miles away, you know, with no apparent way for it to get from point A to point B, and it would kill a bunch of more people and so forth and so on. And so I've always been rather suspicious about Ebola and what's going on in these various U.S. government biological laboratories. I mean, they're playing with stuff that could truly trigger an extinction-level event. You know, nuclear weapons are bad, no question about it, but a biological weapon that exists in the form of a reproducing disease, growing and constantly infecting, that one mistake and humans are gone. All right, getting into the international news and the war over in Ukraine, the Russian military is rewriting the rules of siege warfare for the 21st century. And that means they're not trying to go on in and conquer the territory. They're simply going to surround and attack a fortified place to isolate it from help and supplies so that when the people inside the siege run out of food and water and medicine, they will surrender. And siege warfare has indeed worked very well for many battles throughout history. Basically, for the Ukraine war, Putin is using a series of localized sieges over towns and districts and cities, such as the siege at the Azovstal Steelworks. So, you know, Russia cannot create a physical siege of the whole of Ukraine, meaning a blockade, but he can take out the cities one at a time without actually setting foot inside them by simply locking them away from the rest of the world. Now, maybe the U.S. might try a repeat of the Berlin airlift when the Soviet Union tried to put a blockade around Berlin to make it all completely Soviet. And that airlift did succeed in breaking the siege of Berlin. So we'll see how this one's going to go. There has been another mass kamikaze drone boat attack on Russia's Black Sea Fleet. And basically, this they're calling it kamikaze types. Suicide drones. You know, they drive on in, and you know, the pilots are back somewhere else safe, so they don't care if they're being shot at, and they basically explode when they arrive at their targets. And the Ukrainian armed forces have released footage purportedly from aboard several of these unmanned surface vessels in the attack, and so forth and so on. And these USVs appear to be of the same design as the mystery drone boat found near Sevastopol last month, or actually back in September. We're in November right now. So, the Ukrainians are still fighting it, and Russia, again, Russia is trying to take the lower. Following the Sevastopol attack, Russia pulled out of that grain corridor deal. They have now gone back on the idea that the rest of the world should not be forced to starve because the U.S. and NATO and Russia are not quite getting along. Meanwhile, we're seeing all this propaganda about how Iran is sending weapons to Russia, and there appears to be a deliberate campaign to link Iran with Russia so that when war with Russia breaks out, there is now a justification for declaring war on Iran. And I don't know, Iran, Russia, and China all at the same time, the phrase biting off more than you can chew comes to mind. And supposedly you grow your wisdom teeth when you bite off more than you can chew. But that educational benefit is lost if the teeth that do the biting and the teeth that have to do the chewing are not in the same mouth. And that's exactly the situation going on here. Back in Washington and London and Tel Aviv, they're doing the biting, and our kids on the front lines have to do the chewing. So anyway, there's a story out of the Asia Times warning about Iran missile deliveries could tilt the war in Russia's favor. Ooh, bad Iran, bad Russia. Meanwhile, Russia and Taliban seem to be growing closer together. It's a partnership of convenience. And, you know, Russia understands when Biden pulled out of Afghanistan and the Taliban reasserted itself, it was a devastating defeat for the United States. The official version is, we just got tired and decided to quit playing and go home. But, you know, like Vietnam, it was, you know, we lost that one, plain and simple. And Russia has now moved on in. And so, you know, isn't that kind of weird? I mean, the U.S. government conquered Afghanistan for Russia, I guess, is the short version of how we're going to do this one. All righty. There is a new nuclear submarine. It's called the Generalissimus Suvorov. And it is the second in the what's the new missile class? It's a Bore. It's a Bore A class submarine. This is the second one. Moscow says it's got all the cutting edge technology, and it was out on an exercise and successfully launched a Bulava intercontinental missile in the Northern White Sea. Had a dummy payload, nothing that went bang, and it did hit its target in the far east Russian region of Kamchatka. So, yeah, don't really want to mess with that here. Meanwhile, there's been a lot of damage to Ukrainian infrastructure caused by Russia, including some of the power plants near that nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. Now, even though that plant has been shut down, the reactor cores still require cooling, because there is a lot of heat being generated from residual fission. It's not generating enough heat to be taken off to make electricity, but it's generating enough heat to be dangerous. And so Moscow now wants to hook the Russian power grid to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in order to make sure that the cooling is uninterrupted. Right now, the nuclear power plant is running on emergency backup diesel generators, something that would have been nice if Fukushima had those up on towers so they weren't drowned by the tsunami. And so, we do not want another Chernobyl. We do not want another Fukushima. We do not want another Three Mile Island. Thank you very much. Been there, done that. Burned the T-shirt. Over on the Korean Peninsula, North Korea sortied an exercise of 180 warplanes. And it was an exercise, but there were so many planes up there that North Korea hit the panic button and scrambled their fighter jets, about 80 of them, to basically fly along the border to make sure that it was just an exercise and that it wasn't the start of an invasion. Everybody's on a hair trigger right now. First person that makes a mistake, we're going to be in World War III for real. Meanwhile, the Pentagon continues to talk tough over the North Korea nuclear threat. Defense Secretary Austin is warning any nuclear attack will result in the end of Kim Jong-un's regime. And this is in response to the latest missile tests. And North Korea is testing a lot of missiles. You know, they definitely have their production ramped up. Or it could be a monumental bluff where Kim Jong-un is simply firing off every missile as soon as it comes off the assembly line to make it look like he's got more missiles than he actually has. That's a possibility that could also exist here. Now, the United States, this is kind of silly, I'm sorry. The United States came on out saying that China and Russia together have leverage that they can use to persuade North Korea to not resume nuclear bomb testing. And this came from a U.S. administration official who spoke to Reuters on condition of anonymity. We've heard that before. and saying while the U.S. had been saying since May that North Korea was presuming or preparing rather to resume nuclear testing, it was not clear when such a test would occur. So here we have the U.S. saying that Russia and China ought to go on in and help us control North Korea. And I am certain at this particular point in time, China and Russia will be eager to do whatever the United States asks for. So, all right, over in the United Nations General Assembly, they voted 185-2 to condemn the continuing U.S. embargo of Cuba for the 30th year in a row. Now, the downside is General Assembly resolutions are non-binding. They're not legally enforceable. They do carry political weight by illustrating the attitude of the world. And in this vote, the attitude of the world is that U.S. and Israel are isolated, and the rest of the world's opinion are against continuing that embargo. And this embargo is basically the U.S. punishing Cuba for not having rolled over belly up during the Bay of Pigs invasion. And, you know, the U.S. knows how to carry a grudge. And that's kind of amazing because, you know, we lost the war in Vietnam and everybody kissed and made up. And now we're doing commerce with Vietnam. We're doing business with them. But Cuba, what a shame. I mean, Obama tried to loosen this up a little bit. And there was even talk of Cuba being allowed to export some of its world famous rum and cigars to the United States. But that really never did happen. And, well, you know, we all miss that here. All right, let's get into the economic news here because things have not been going good. It had a good day on the Dow. It ended 400 up here. But the owner of Facebook, Meta, is now ranked the worst performer in the Standard & Poor's 500 as its shares continue to slump over concerns about virtual world. Okay, they're not doing very good over there. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks, then they tell us. The banks are too big to fail when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news here. And looking at today's jobs report, there's been a red-hot jump in non-farm payrolls, which is being touted as indicating a strong hiring market, if you just ignore the jump in the unemployment rates. So there's something broken in the system, because when you have more jobs at the same time you have more unemployment, the numbers just don't add up. And, of course, Joe Biden is all over the country saying inflation is under control and the economy is doing really, really good. And, you know, it's silly here. All righty. Now, this is it's under economics, but it's also could be under current events here. A member of the Ugandan parliament is opposing the pro-LGBT and abortion provisions that are suggested be included in an updated trade agreement between the European Union and many countries in Africa, the Caribbean, and the Pacific. Well, I don't think that trade agreements should even address the issues of abortions and LGBT. You're using the economy and trade to push a political agenda. And Uganda, which culturally views the family unit as the core of their entire society, is definitely not interested in that as well. Meanwhile, for those of you who have been prudent about acquiring precious metals, it's now come out that central banks globally are buying gold at the fastest pace in 55 years. In fact, the last time they were buying gold, this was back when the U.S. dollar was still backed by gold, before the Nixon shock. And because they know those pretty printed pieces of paper are just that, pretty printed pieces of paper. They don't have any inherent worth. Among many coin collectors, you can find coins from ancient Rome, like the silver denarius, which is the origin of the word denaro, meaning money in general. And even though Rome is long gone, those denarius still have value because they are made out of silver. The value is in the coin itself, not in the government that promises it will honor that worth, which is the system we have now. This is a little bit ugly. Over at Trinity College in Connecticut, they sent a campus employee to forcibly remove and confiscate a Gadsden flag, that's the one with the snake, it says, don't tread on me, a regular American flag, and the red, blue, and green line flag that supports the police, troops, and firemen. All the other flags, like Gay Pride, they're fine. They're still flying there on that campus. And it starts to make it look like the LGBTQ movement are tending towards an anti-American direction when you see this kind of a bias being displayed on these campuses here. Yeah, the Pride flag is okay. Antifa flag, Black Lives Matter is fine. American flag, get that out of here. Gadsden flag, get that out of here. Support the police, get that out of here. All righty, we are at the time for our station identification break here. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we will be right back. We'll be right back.
one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.